Gee, it's almost 30 degrees already in Melbourne, and we've got Rowan Connolly in the house. I've got to say, Rowan, given that we always spend Brownlow night together, I feel as though you're going to be cheating on me this afternoon. How are you, mate?
Good, Finey. Good to see you. Been a while. Hi, everyone. Yes, I'm off to the Brownlow Medal, Finey.
Without me.
And without you, and rather more casual. Actually, we dress reasonably casually for the Brownlow, don't we? But I'm even more casual today. In fact, I hope the invite didn't say suit required, because I ain't wearing one. But yeah, off to the presentation this afternoon. It's going to be a strange experience, but I think...
Who do you think will win, Coxon or Mitchell?
I reckon they might not be able to separate them at the post. I think everyone's going to be trying very hard to make it as special as it can be. And, you know, obviously it's not going to have the same momentous sort of feel about it that Brownlow Knight usually does. But I think it's important that these two guys are made to feel worthy winners, because they are worthy winners. Yeah, it's just going to be a bit surreal, I think. But anyway, looking forward to it. I'm sure. I can't remember the name of the place, but it's at Central Pier, just opposite the AFL. And I'm sure there'll be some really good video packages and speeches. And after the formalities, the friends, family, etc. of both Sam Mitchell and Trent Cotchin get to go off and have a nice lunch. So, yeah, pretty different, but I am looking forward to it.
Once a decision was made to have Joe Watson's 2012 Brownlow replaced with winners, not to put a line through the season, I think the right decision was made. This is an individual award that would be impacted upon mildly by the disqualification of Joe Watson, but not substantially enough to make it null and void. Everybody outside the Essendon 34, I don't know how many played that season in senior football, get a clean tick for their year's contribution, and we need to have a Brownlow. I couldn't agree more. And the question then became, how do you rightly honour these two people? Now, we don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. 9-4-2-9-11-16, be serious, be witty, but is there some way of making it memorable and meaningful? What do you do? I mean, I know if it was a horse race, we'd have Darryl Braithwaite singing horses, but I'm not quite sure what they do today that will be something.
Mike Brady?
A little bit. Like I said, I don't quite know what they're going to do today to make it special and memorable. I hope there is something. I hope there is something more than a video package.
Well, there was never any doubt in my mind that once Joe Watson decided to hand it back and then, you know, they formally ruled that he was ineligible, there had to be a winner, didn't there? And the argument there, I couldn't sort of understand the rationale of people saying there shouldn't be any winner at all, because after all, you know, Corey McKernan, Chris Grant, in fact, Chris Grant, I went back through his votes the year he polled the most votes but was ineligible, and he polled a substantial number of votes after he was ineligible. So I don't see the difference fundamentally with that, do you?
No, none whatsoever. Are you going to take your 2013 AFL season guide and recreate the cover?
Oh, yeah. What do they do about that?
Of course, the season guide, for people
that's an interesting one,
aren't
yeah.
aware, it's a, you should be, because if you're a footy fan, it's must-have, has the on the front cover picture of the previous year's Brownlow medalist.
That's right. And you always, I've got them very well set up in my reference shelf chronologically, and you always know...
OCD football journalists often do.
Yeah, but you always know, you know, when you're trying to find a year quickly, you can always instantly reach for 2004 because you got three guys on the cover that year instead of one.
Yeah, so are you going to do like a cutout?
No, look, I think I'll... I think I might wear my heart on my sleeve there and leave Job on the cover.
Fair enough.
Put it with my... They used to prepare WEG posters for both premiers and whatever. And
yes.
Someone, grand final week 1990, I can't remember who made it, but I got sent a Essendon 1990 premiers T-shirt. Still got it. And if I ever want to really get on the wick of a Collingwood fan, I'll wear it.
Yeah, do you know what I had from 1997? But they became a very hot collectible and I sold them.
Was it St Kilda?
It was St Kilda. Premier? St Kilda was sponsored by Tui's.
Oh, yeah.
And Tui's had prepared St Kilda Premiership beer. And there were cans with red, white and black on the can, congratulating St Kilda on the 1997 Premiership.
Well, if you had enough of them, you wouldn't know any different, would you, really? Well,
I was given a six-pack, and I'm not a big beer drinker, but we smashed four and just threw the cans away. And then I thought, I might just keep a couple as a joke. Sold them for $500 each.
Yeah.
And therefore, majorly regretted slamming down the four on the day I was given, which was the day after the granny.
There's a lot of Brownlow memorabilia now. Brownlow Night 2004 Crown Lager had some special labels. I've got a couple sitting in my shelf. And if I ever run out of beer, I always wonder, does beer go off? This is a really stupid question. It does, does it? Yeah. So you wouldn't want to be drinking a 2004 beer.
Oh, maybe 2004, but we sort of, back at the family homestead of the Fine family senior back in McKinnon, when time came that the kids had moved and parents moved to smaller digs, there was a sort of mini cellar set up in the pantry, and we found bottles of Courage Draft.
Wow. When did that go out of production?
Oh, must have been early 80s.
North have Courage. See, that was when North's stocks took a turn for the worse.
So we opened one of the bottles. The fact that it had no fizz, and you didn't, after pouring it, you didn't need to know that that thing was well and truly past its use by date.
Yeah, I'm not a huge, in fact, I'm not a huge drinker of anything really, but beer, there's all these boutique beers now and stuff, and I think I had a whole lot of leftovers from my 50th, actually. So I threw a few of them in the fridge, and I latched on one of them, one of our last hot days, which there haven't been too many of, and, God, it tastes like crap. All the malty sort of... I like a light beer, I think,
You're talking to the wrong person. I'm not a beer drinker, and now I'm not drinking at all, but, not beer for me, never have been. People go, oh, what's your favourite drink? They sort of expect beer, vodka and tonic or whatever. And I tell them what my favourite drink is.
What is it?
Green Cottage Cordial, and it always has been.
Really? Green?
Well, it used to be Cooler, now it's just Lime. Cooler was different to
Cooler
Lime.
Cooler with a K.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I do remember that. My favourite drink is Coke, and that's part of my downfall. Coke and chocolate, so I'm off them, Finey. I'm actually just starting a bit of a...
Don't believe you.
No, I am. I'm going to shed about... Plan is to shed about 15, 20 kilos. You may scoff, but my head's in the right place. I reckon I'm ready to do it.
Now, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got some great prizes to give away. So if anybody's got any suggestions of how to busy up, zhuzh up, I think they call it zhuzhing, zhuzh up the Brownlow presentation this afternoon to Coxton and Mitchell, by all means, give us a call. Any other football questions that you may have as we head into the calm before the storm, and I'm including the storm as the Women's Football League because I'm personally really looking forward to seeing exactly what form it takes and how well it's the football fan latches onto it and whether or not it's got legs in year one. There's so many open-ended questions. So for me, the football season's extended out. But let's take a break, come back with Rowan Connolly. Any football matter, 9429 1116. I'll do a KB. You can set the sporting agenda. Rowan Connolly, the age, 51.
Yes, I am 51.
I just said
why'd you have to do that?
Because on the screen it said Rowan Connolly, the age.
Yeah, 51. East Malvern.
The Age newspaper, I believe.
East Malvern, bracket Chadston, and about to have our street overrun by frenzied, chatty Christmas shoppers.
Do you get impinged upon by Christmas frenzy?
Yeah, that week. In fact, I'll give you a little story. I'm about literally 5 minutes walk from Chatty, but we drive. That's how lazy.
Oh, that is pathetic. I know where you live. You drive to Chadston. Oh, my goodness.
So I jumped in the car. I jumped in the car with my son last Sunday, and we drove up to Chatty. We drove around for 15 minutes.
You would have parked further away than where you live.
Couldn't get a park. So I said, oh, bugger this. So we came back out, drove down our street, and I stopped halfway down where the parked car stopped. And he said, what are you doing? Just put in the driveway. I said, no, we've saved ourselves 70 metres here. That's why I have to go on a diet, Fonny. Yeah, I know, it's pathetic.
You make Mike from Mike and Molly seem like a fitness friend. You ever seen that show? Let's go to our callers. We've asked how we can make the Brownlow special this afternoon. Of course, we can't do anything. I'm sure it's all locked and loaded, but maybe this suggestion or one from you off 94291116. Don't SMS because it's not quite working at the moment. Could be inspirational and rush through at the last minute. Good morning to you, Peter.
Yeah, g'day, guys. What they should do to jazz up the Brownlow today is just present the Brownlow, but then present the main medal, the JB medal. Roko's going to win that hands down.
Gee, I'm amazed how much interest there is in this, Farnie.
I'm not over this.
Oh, well, Off the Bench, fantastic show, Saturday morning.
Love
runs the JB medal for third-person use and gratuitous self-promotion. And I've made a flying run over the last 400, it's fair to say. Roko has really...
Oh, you've tried... You see, you've
put hands... I've been doing this every day, mate. Taking the whip to the horse, and Robbo had an apparently unassailable lead, but I've almost mowed him down with old mate Pickers just behind me, trying to go where no man's been before, win back-to-back. So this is the last week, so Roko's going to throw in a few more gratuitous third-person references and story insertions and generally making it all about him and might just get over the line. There has been, Pete, some suggestions that I'm not really playing by the spirit of the JB Award because I'm actually trying too hard. Do you have any thoughts on that?
When you win it, it's just going to be another fairy tale story of the year, like the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
I think you'll find, Peter, this fairy tale will have a not happy ending because I wouldn't be surprised if, like his much-beloved Joe Watson, in 3 or 4 years' time, he could get the JB medal taken off him.
Well, I think my third-person use is consistent enough for the integrity not to be questioned at this point. So, whilst I haven't sort of... It hasn't been Robbo caliber sort of, having drinks with Dick, Steezel. That's a good one. Diesel and Sticks, etc. But, the gratuitous third-person references have been flowing freely. So, stop referring to Roko, you self-indulging toss. Thanks, Anonymous. You just gave me another couple of points.
I know, having done TV with you on Footyology, you do seem to be at every game that we cover. We'll show some footage and go, actually, I was at that game.
Yeah, I know. I racked up some points for that.
Thanks for the call, Peter. Hang on to the line, my friend. We're going to rear-end another pig. Two Bataki hams. We're going through a lot of pigs here.
By the way, Anonymous, it's not self-indulging toss. It's self-indulgent toss.
Yeah, he knows. Sorry. Now, just on... Oh, we'll go to Joe on the road. Joe, how are you? Good morning to you, sir.
G'day, boys. So to zuz up the Brownlow, what they should do is they should have a chopper come down to deliver the medals, but as the doors open from the chopper, KB should just jump out with his old Guernsey on to present the medal.
I mean, that'd be great, but he wouldn't do it.
Why KB?
Well, he is a legend of the game, but not a Brownlow.
Didn't win a Brownlow.
And he should have. He really...
Oh, absolutely,
he was
on merit.
You know, he went there a favourite a few times. How he'd never won a Brownlow is a bit of a one of those, I guess, along with Jezelenko, along with, the likes of Jezer and Baldock and Teddy Whitten.
Yeah, Lee Matthews.
Absolutely. Greats of the game that didn't win it.
I think Trent Cotchin would be pretty proud to receive it from Ian Stewart, though, wouldn't he?
Very proud. It's great to actually have Ian Stewart on the public stage there.
Doesn't that give you an idea of how far apart Richmond and Hawthorn's most recent Brownlow wins were that Shane Crawford's doing Sam Mitchell's and Ian Stewart's doing Trent Cotchin's?
You know what they would have problems with? Thanks for the call, Joe. They would have huge problems if, as a backdrop to the co-presentation of Richmond and Hawthorn, they wanted to play highlights of great Richmond Hawthorn finals.
Haven't been any.
There's never been one.
No, isn't that amazing?
It's just one of those football oddities. Let's go to John in Glen Huntly, who's not an oddity. You're a good caller. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Very well.
First off, just if you're going to lose weight again, bro, pull out the Soup Mate Pro and make up some soup again. Half a bataki and half a packet of peas makes a great pea soup.
Yeah, I like my pea soup. Yeah.
Now, if that's a Soup Mate Pro, John, that's my favourite infomercial because that's the guy who does it. Delicious. And he has a bit on his lip.
We talked about this, Farnie.
He's got a new ad.
Oh, I see.
He now advertises the Tutti Frutti, where you put frozen fruit in and it makes instant gelati. oh, heavenly. And then he did this. He goes, oh, my. I'm going, weak at the knees. John, I love that man. I think he's a New Zealander who lives in America. But quite frankly, he's delicious.
I did the all-soup diet. It was.
It worked?
Yeah, till I stopped doing it.
I was going to say, because it hasn't worked.
The novelty wears off.
John, how do we zuzz it up?
Sorry, to make the Brownlow more memorable, we have Joe Watson present it for no other reason than it would be memorable.
It's very true. I'd remember that.
I wonder what Joe would say if they
It's
asked,
mine. It's yours. It's mine. It's
no,
mine.
But I want if they asked him to do it, do you think that would be incredibly insensitive?
Maybe he'd do a Rove McManus. And remember what Rove did when he went to shake the hand of the of the Carlton captain? He tossed pulled his hand away.
That wasn't a great move, was it?
No, it was stupid. But maybe Joe could do that. Go to hand it to him and go, no, I want to keep it.
But a serious question, do you think, I'm just thinking on the run here, but do you think if they'd asked him to do that, that would have been incredibly insensitive?
I reckon there are 70 players on AFL list. There would have been 750 players that asked before him. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
To present the 100 metres gold medal at the Seoul Olympics, Mr. Ben Johnson. I don't think so. It doesn't ring right with me.
No, good, nice text here, Finny. Have a look at that top text.
Roko sounds a bit like my old man who always has to say that he was there at old footy matches. My brother and I have now started calling it game dropping because he does.
That's very good.
Oh, that is very good. Very good. Game dropping. Hey, that's great. Yeah, hopefully we do footy.
I admit, I am a shocking game dropper.
Hopefully we do footyology next year because I now have a term to describe your peculiar behaviour.
We are doing footyology, Finny. It just depends where we're doing it.
Spot on. My idea, look, co-Brownlow medalists are great, but what if today at the presentation it was decided by both Cochin and Mitchell that they wanted it for themselves and they wheeled out the old handball from World of Sport?
Or super kick.
7-9.
Handball. I reckon my money would be on Sam Mitchell.
Who knows?
Can we have Lou Richards deciding the score?
He decides the score and they can be thankful that Alan Jarrett wasn't there because he would have won the Brownlow medal. We're going to take a break and Rowan will stick around after 11 o'clock. Welcome back. Rowan Connolly has joined myself, Mark Fine, filling in for Kevin Bartlett. And on this Brownlow medal day, it's another year where Kevin didn't win it, but we've got a Richmond winner in Trent Cochin and Sam Mitchell, and Rowan is off to the Brownlow medal this afternoon.
Do you think? Oh, there will be wags, won't there? But there won't be red carpet.
There'll be two wags.
Yeah. No, well, there'll be a few. I'm sure there'll be other women there.
But there's only two wags.
Oh, no, that's true.
There's only two wags.
Yeah.
So do they have like a little bit of red carpet?
I don't know.
A sample from a carpet store?
No, it's got to be better than that.
We've been asking how to make this Brownlow medal presentation memorable beyond the fact that it will be remembered because these two players will go down in history as co-winners of the Brownlow medal. But Anton in East Bentley takes up the discussion of possibly getting Joe Watson to present it. Good morning to you, Anton.
Good morning, guys. Good to be speaking to the Dream Team, finally.
Where are they? And who is it? And you've got the wrong number.
We're the bad Dream Team.
Nightmare Team. Anton, what happens if Brownlow this afternoon had Joe Watson there?
Oh, well, my idea was just to jazz up the Brownlow a little bit. And I'm old school. I believe that there can be only one sort of like Highlander style, so if there's a drawn Brownlow, I think that they should get a cage match happening and it gets awarded to last man standing.
Who would win that? Sam Mitchell.
Cage match.
No,
yeah.
You know what? Trent Cochin in the last couple of years has
got a bit angry.
He's added some Sam Mitchell to his game.
Yeah.
If it's a cage match, it'll be Sam because he's really good at that.
In close stuff.
Well, that knee to the thigh, which is... It's so much a part of UFC, isn't it? Trying to sort of give your opponent a corky in the thigh, and that's something that he's
actually
unfamiliar with.
That is a very good question, though. If it was the old system and we'd had the count back, are you aware who polled the more
three votes?
I think Mitchell did. I think Mitchell did.
Maybe.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Mitchell did.
Check that. Anton, hang on to the line. For the lady in your life, an Endota Spa gift voucher. It's the escape that every woman craves. Give someone you care an Indota Spa gift voucher and help them find their best me.
Why can't Anton use it? Does it have to be for women?
I'm just reading what the
promo says.
He can go. This is a gender non-specific prize. If boys are being...
I knew you'd be all over that.
If there's advocacy for boys to play with Barbies, if they want to, which they should. If I had a Barbie as a kid, I would have definitely... If somebody gave me a Barbie as a kid, I definitely would have played with it. It would have been decapitated by one of my one of my homemade guillotines or various other forms of... I would have melted it. I would have done things to it.
Someone's just texted in the red carpet. Call the carpet call, boys. Let's get Dennis Lilly carting in the red the roll of red carpet on his shoulder.
And quickly pulling it away afterwards. That's it. We're done. Interviews on the red carpet. Hi, how are you? Good. What are you wearing today? Imagine if they wore the same thing. What are the chances? Women hate wearing the same thing. When you think of... People think UFC is the ultimate way to decide a winner, sort of the modern-day gladiatorial last man standing. Have you seen the movie Rob Roy?
No.
It's got a great final scene where... Rob Roy's played by Liam Neeson.
So we're talking sort of Scottish Highland stuff?
Yeah, they're using those big swords. What were those big swords called? Whatever they were.
Lances?
No. Anyway, they're using giant swords. And he and an American actor, maybe Tim Roth, fight it out to the end. And at the end, it's turned out that the Duke of Montrose, who set up this entire fight, and the whole movie was about this feud, just walked away. He lost the bet. It was like, it was the equivalent of trading places. We'll settle at the end of the week. Big deal. And the bloke that he had sponsored, who was a nephew of his, lay cut in half, basically,
and
on the floor.
The frozen orange juice stock, how was that trending?
sell. Let's go to David on the road. Good morning to you, David.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thinking about jazzing up the Brownlow, maybe they could both wear suits a la Graham Teasdale.
It'd be a good touch, good retro touch, yeah. Although, 2012, I'm not sure fashion was that much different.
It wasn't, but the music was different.
Popular culture was.
Now, they should have an entertainer, and they should have the person who had the number one song in Australia.
What was it?
And it's sort of fitting, because you could really integrate Joe Watson into this song. I mean, that really sums up Job's brilliance.
It's apt.
Now, we've been taught it's either a broadsword or a claymore.
A claymore, yeah.
They were big swords. They were hard to lift.
Yeah. I was just thinking, gee, gotcha. That was a far more appealing number one than some of the other recent number one songs we've had.
You know, because I'm not heavily invested in the music of Gotcha or other modern constructs, even though that really is a very good song, I never closely looked at his name, and for a couple of years called him Goiter. And I thought, well, somebody called themselves Goiter.
I can't remember his real name, but he's Belgian.
It's not Jack Spratt.
But just as well, it was 2012 or not. What was the year that thrift shop thing was the number one song? Worst song I've ever heard in my life. Did you ever hear that?
No.
Oh, don't.
Wally DeBakker.
That's it. Thank you, guys.
He's not Goiter, he's got you. David, hang on to the line. A couple of Batokis for you. Pauline's in Box Hill. Good morning to you, Pauline. Hello, Pauline.
I just want to know what specific rule did Joe Watson, under AFL laws, did Joe Watson have to give his Brownlow back? Now, I'm not an Essendon supporter. I've got no sympathy for them, whatever. But if he had to give his back for bringing the game into disrepute, surely Ben Cousins should have to too.
Well, Ben Cousins didn't contravene the playing rules of the AFL.
He may have, but he wasn't caught doing so.
Well, some people would argue Joe wasn't really caught doing so either.
Pauline, the question you asked, and interestingly from a non-Essendon supporter, is one that many people would say is valid. In the end, I think either public pressure or perception, Job handed his Brownlow medal back. He's made of good stuff, is Job Watson. He's a good leader, good bloke, football family. Put a full stop to it before the rug was pulled from underneath him. And you know what? Maybe could afford it on the very terms that Pauline was suggesting. What exactly, where exactly is it written? And there's nothing specifically in ASADA rules about handing back an award such as that. It's left to the individual sports. So there could have been a loophole, but in the end, Joe Watson, I think most people felt, made the right decision. You're an Essendon man. Do you think he made the right call?
Yeah, given the ruling, I think he had no... I mean, he was at the ultimate sort of no-win position, really, wasn't it? And he also bailed the AFL out. He sort of did their dirty work for them, really, didn't he? Well, and a guy of less... a guy of less character, I think, would have made them sweat on it and said, well, you know, you've enforced or you have presided over those bans. You make the ultimate decision. But he didn't. He helped them out.
And you know what? Being the bigger man, in some people's eyes, make him this. Another hit from 2012, back after the break. And like Bruce Lee, I got the clout, yeah. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out. When I walk in the spot, this is what I see. Everybody stops and is staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it. Show it, show it, show it. I'm sexy and I know it. Back to 2012 with Psy. Now, he could definitely be there this afternoon because his follow-up single...
Yeah, what was it?
It doesn't exist. It ain't happening.
So he has he surpassed the Knack as the ultimate one-hit wonder?
No, I've actually still... I don't have the Knack as the one-hit wonder.
Oh, come on. My Sharona.
Because they did come back.
Yeah,
they reformed.
They had a second single.
That sounded exactly the same.
It was Good Girls Don't.
Yeah,
for Bracket, me, But I Do.
M, pop music.
Oh, yeah. No, they had a great, actually.
Oh, they did not.
No, the follow-up to pop music was Moonlight and Muzak. It's a great song.
Only you'd know that.
No, it was a half hit. No, mate.
Half hit.
Yeah. I'm going to see if...
I rest my case, Your Honour.
I'm going to see if we can get Christos to dig up Moonlight and Muzak by M. It'll be on YouTube. And incidentally, I just wanted someone to text in how many views Gangnam Style's now got on YouTube. It's got to be like 20 million or something, I bet.
Oh, way beyond 20 million.
Well, I don't know. What's the most watched YouTube clip?
They should have a somewhere where if you hate something, you can net minus a view.
Well, you can't minus a view, but there's a dislike button. Footyology uploads on YouTube had plenty of dislikes.
Hey, come on. Gangnam View has 2 billion.
Oh, my God.
707 million. 377,535 views.
Okay, I want someone to SMS in if they have heard the song by M, Moonlight and Muzak. It was the follow-up to pop music.
Chumbawamba, biggest one-hit wonder ever. I get knocked down,
but I get up again, yeah. Yeah, that was never going to knock me down.
Blah, I didn't blah, like blah. That. No. Let's go to Dave in Doreen. Good morning to you, Dave.
Hey, Fawny and Oroko, how are you going?
Very well, Dave.
That's all right. I think just to spice things up today, I think Sam Mitchell should get a little bit of a ginger look and a few freckles, and maybe Koch can run the tartan vest like the last shared Brownlow medal in 96 with a bit of a mouse under the eye.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. I've got to pull you up there, though, Dave. Wasn't the last shared Brownlow medal. We had a three-way in 2003. Mark Cresciuto, Nathan Buckley and Adam Goods.
I don't think it's described as a three-way.
No, I sort of demurred as I said that.
Tony Basil with Mickey.
Yeah,
she had another. She had another hit.
No.
I think it was Ricky. She didn't try. Now, you know who was definitely a one-hit wonder was Nusha Fox.
Single bed. Single bed.
Yeah. I got a yeah, one stop.
There we go. Moonlight Music has 38,500 views. I want to hear a grab of it. Come on, Chris.
That is not correct.
There it is. Here it is. Just have a listen.
Ugh. Right, this is not a half hit. That is not a half hit. That is a... What's the smallest fraction we can come up with? That is a one quintillionth hit, that well, one.
Getting SMSs, Giggs remembers it. It's got 38,000 views. I reckon it's gone okay.
Giggs remembers it.
Yeah.
I remember things. I can remember things that aren't hits.
I tell you what, people love their one-hit wonders, don't they? Patrick Hernandez, Born to be Alive.
Yeah.
What was the other one there? Vanilla Rice. Yeah.
No, he's got a TV show.
Criss Cross, Jump. Remember the kids that wore their pants back the front? The little hip-hop kids?
I remember Christopher Cross sailing.
Yeah.
Let's go to Sam in the Docklands. Good morning to you, Sam.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Good, Sam.
I got a couple of things. First of all, I'm a Bomber supporter, I'll say right up front. I think we should give Job a bit of a break, actually. He's done the right thing and handed it back. Let's celebrate Cochin and Mitchell and not really slag off Job and, you know, make songs and that sort of thing about him. But my main point of ring, I want to get your early predictions on Brownlow winner of next year and grand final winner.
Oh, well, it's a bit early.
Well, it's pretty easy.
All right, look, I qualify this by saying I reserve the right to change this 700 times before next season. But if you're asking me to tip a premier now, it'd be pretty hard to go past GWS. I think they've definitely got a bullet next to them. Don't agree?
St Kilda and Jade Gresham.
might be a little one-eyed there, Farnie. Brownlow winner.
Oh, that's what I want to be.
Brownlow winner.
Well, I tell you, Paddy Dangerfield is still in the prime position because it's all about being in a club that doesn't have a lot of other midfielders who take votes from you.
Yeah, I'll go Dangerfield back to back. Who are yours, Sam?
I'm probably going to go slightly a little bit left field. I think someone like, I reckon Joe might come out of the woodwork and turn back the clock.
I thought, Sam, that is funny. Hang on to the line. You've got two Pataki hams. He will not do that.
Look at these one-hit wonders, Farnie. We could have done the whole hour on them.
Well, hang on. I've got one for you. Now, this is definitely a one-hit wonder. If this band had another song, no one's ever heard it.
I've got it. That's easy.
What?
They had their follow-up to Turning Japanese was Talking in Your Sleep. I hear the secrets that you keep when you're talking in your sleep. That was quite a big hit. Geez, you're off the pace today, Farnie.
I am not. I think when you've...
I thought you were better on your 70s podcast.
I think when you have a hit about feeding the chooks, that should really be it for your sort of discology. You know we've got size follow-up.
Oh, have we?
Yeah, so listen to this. He had Gangnam Style, 2.7 billion hits on YouTube, and then this. Got it from my daddy. I got it from my daddy. I got it, got it. Hey, where'd you get that body from? I got it from my daddy. I got it from my daddy. I got it, got it. Hey, where'd you get that body from? I got it from my daddy. Right, now, I'm going to say something and I want to make it very clear. This bloke, Psy... No, you're not, mate. He's 39 years old. He turns 40. He is actually born on the last day of 1977. So he turns 39 on December the 31st. He's singing about his daddy.
Yeah.
He's weird.
Now, oh, sorry, I've got a correction here. It wasn't the Vapors that did Talk In Your Sleep. It was the Romantics. Apologies.
There you go.
Yeah, no, the Vapors were one-hit wonder. Sorry, guys.
Off to the Brownlow with all your 2012 music locked and loaded.
I've still got my clothes from 2012. I haven't bought any more since.
Well, that won't fit you next year. You're all right. Going on. We'll catch up soon.
See ya.
Daddy.
Where'd you get that body from?